Episode number 105. What's up, everybody? How you doing tonight, drinkers, drunkies, winos, you fucking hobos? How the hell is your week going? Getting a little 80s in here, right? How the hell was your weekend? I hope you're having a good one. I'm drinking a ghetto margarita tonight, by the way, which is just triple sec, tequila, and squirt, which I don't know if you guys know this. Squirt is actually the funniest name they could have picked for a soda. I think for anything. What else could have been named Squirt? I don't know why all of a sudden I'm thinking a grease gun. That was weird. You squirt the grease out like an oil, you know, like the oil can for the Tin Man. You could have named that shit Squirt, right? Not Lucas Oil. Just name it Squirt. That makes sense. Anyways, Jesus Christ, Chris. Could you be any more immature? No, I don't think I could. Anyway, I was supposed to put this podcast out on Tuesday. Tuesday turned into Wednesday, and Wednesday has now turned into Thursday. Thirsty Thursday. And, dude, I tried to do it last night, man. I really did. I had the worst caffeine headache I've ever had in my life. And it's partially due to the fact that I'm starting this new diet. I'm still doing the vegan thing, man. Like, I'm not eating animals or dairy or eggs, even though I did go pretty hardcore during the holidays. But I'm not doing it. I'm still eating vegan, but now I'm doing the intermittent fasting. And the reason I got such a bad headache the past 2 days is because I'm used to waking up every morning, having my morning coffee, and then going to work and doing my shit, you know? I did not practice that ritual Monday or Tuesday, and it left, dude, I've never had such a bad caffeine headache to where I feel like I'm catching a cold. That's what I felt like last night. I was trying to pump myself up. I made myself a mixed drink. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a drink in me. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do this damn podcast, and that's going to be that. But I just couldn't do it. Even the drink knocked the headache back just a little bit, but not quite enough to come out here and do my thing and talk and yell and rant and rave like I always do every week. So you're getting this on Thursday. Hopefully you have something delicious to drink in front of you. Cheers. And basically for the intermittent fasting thing, if you guys care, I'm still eating vegan when I do eat. It's just I'm not eating from midnight till 4 p.m. every day. That's my window I don't eat, which works out perfect for me. I don't have to make lunch for myself anymore. What I noticed today on my third day is that I just don't crave anything anymore. I'm not spending money. There's an economic benefit of a diet, which doesn't happen very often. Usually when you go on a diet, you have to buy like the, you know, people start buying the organic chicken and all that shit. It adds up, man. That shit is not cheap to eat healthy. But I can go down the street to McDonald's and get $1.50, you know, sausage McMuffin and hash browns. And, you know, I could feed my family off of that for weeks. But, you know, it actually is a economic benefit to doing this diet. But yeah, still eating vegan. And my eating window is from 4 p.m. till midnight. So that's what I'm doing. I had the caffeine withdrawals. I think I'm over it now at this point. Dude, I'm just a fucking saint right now. You guys got to give it up for me. I'm not drinking. I'm still drinking. Okay, I still have that vice. I'm not smoking. I'm dieting. I'm not vaping. You know, like, good God. Where's my spot, you know, next to the greats? You know, it's got to be up there. So, well, Chris, first let's see how long you can sustain this newfound diet, and then we'll talk. We'll talk about how great you... If you could sustain this for the next year, I think, you know, I think you'd be up there with some of the greats. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, great man. Michael Jordan, great man. You know, at least what they did. I don't know. Shut up, Chris. Anyway, hey, I do want to celebrate my 6,000 downloads since being on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and now Spotify. I just hit 6,000 downloads. I'm so fucking excited. I do this every time I reach like a milestone, which is basically like every 1,000 downloads. And I just want to shout out the countries and the states and the places that download me the most. So let me go ahead and do that. I'm signed into my app here. Why is this not working, though? Oh, my God. It does this to me every time. So we're going all time. I think last time I did this was I just did for that month. We're going all time downloads. So US, I mean, you guys are just killing it. Always killing it. That's my top. Probably will be forever. But I got a couple of new ones in here, man, that I really didn't expect. Canada is second place. Spain is third place. Germany is fourth place. Let's go ahead and do fifth place. Why not? United Kingdom is fifth place. Did not expect those downloads to come, but I really appreciate it. Canada, avatosante. Spain, salud. Germany, I'll figure out how to say cheers in the future. And United Kingdom, cheers. You guys say cheers, right? As far as states go, my top state downloads, you would think, hey, Chris, aren't you from Texas? Yeah, I am from Texas. Is that where you get all your downloads from? No, it's actually not. California is my biggest state that downloads Drink Until You podcast. The only podcast that lasts until the last drop, by the way. California, first place. Texas, second place. Michigan, third place. New Jersey, fourth place. Let's go ahead and do fifth place. Florida, all you crazy fucks out in Florida, fifth place. I really appreciate all the downloads. Thank you guys so much. Cheers. Man, at this rate, I'll be out of drink. This is going pretty quick. Let's see. As far as Canada goes, let me go ahead and say avatosante. I know most of you guys speak French up there, possibly English as well. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you have to speak some English. Because I can only say one phrase in your language. Hey, anyone who wants to Skype me, you know, I'm down to learn a new language. So let's go the top five. Ontario, Quebec, Newfoundland and Labrador, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. Thank you guys so much for all the downloads. Cheers. And Australia. I always, every time I say Australia, I want to do an accent, but I don't. So really, in Australia, there's only three places that have downloaded me. I feel like I was getting a lot more downloads a couple of months ago. I must have said something to piss you guys off. I didn't make fun of the wildfires or anything like that. All that horrific shit that was going on. You know? I would never do that. That's fucked up, right? Anyways, so I have three. It's Queensland, New South Wales, and Western Australia. Thank you guys so much for the downloads. Rate, share, subscribe, like, whatever. Do all that shit. And I really appreciate it. Cheers, guys. So, I finally did it. I finally watched the Aaron Hernandez. Why does it say Aaron Herna? That's not a person. Why did I type in Aaron Herna? Aaron Hernandez. That's what I meant. I finally watched the, what's the Netflix documentary called? Killer Inside, dude. I can't stop thinking about it, man. If you haven't seen it, you gotta see it. I can't stop thinking about it. It's in a good way. But it's also, like, it's making me feel weird, dude. Like, it's so eerie to watch. I mean, don't get me wrong. This guy was a straight-up murderer. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that he, you know, he flipped out on some people. He pulled the trigger at some point. It's just a big, big thing. And, you know, it's really good to watch. But, like I said, I'm just watching somebody's last, like, breaths, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't 1985 footage, man. This is, like, 2-3 years ago footage. This is this guy's last words, his last phone calls, his last, you know, he blew a kiss to his daughter before he killed himself. Maybe I should have said spoiler alert. I'm sorry if you haven't been following that whole thing. I didn't mean to spoil it for you, but it's pretty eerie, man. I think the guy was a bad egg, but he was really, really good at pretending. And, you know, it seemed like he took a turn after his father died. His father was his role model. You know, his father was kind of hard on him too, from what it sounds like. But his father was a big, what was it, UConn football football player. I don't know the college he went to. I think that was it. I only watched it once. I have to watch things more than one time to retain any kind of useful information. But, yeah, dude, it's just weird. It's just weird to see all the, like I said, the conversations, man. It just freaks me out. I can't stop thinking about it all day long. I couldn't stop talking about it. And I had a friend who hadn't watched it yet. And he's like, all right, I haven't seen it. Just let me watch it. And I'm like, shit, I just can't stop talking about it. It's fucking wild, dude. I just feel so bad for anyone he killed or anyone involved in that situation, except for the guy named Bradley. I think his last name was Bradley. That dude was a... You think Aaron Hernandez was a psycho? That dude was a fucking psycho, man. And they were the worst two people to be together. And there's a bunch of, you know, conspiracy with, like... Dude, this guy killed, like, four... Aaron Hernandez killed, like, four different people from what they were saying. Yes, spoiler alert, he did get acquitted for the second two murders and blamed it on the Bradley guy. I don't know if that guy was acquitted or what happened with the whole thing. But, dude, it's just fucking wild, man. It's so weird. And they said it best on the program, which was like, we've never, you know, with the O.J. Simpson thing, he was a retired football player. He had a history of domestic violence. You could kind of see it coming, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't no longer in the NFL. You know, this guy literally killed two people and played a whole NFL season and almost won a Super Bowl that season. Thank you, Eli Manning, times two, which Eli Manning is actually retiring this, I guess, coming up soon. And he's the only one to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. I think that's right. Am I right? They beat him twice. Let me ask Google this question real quick. How many times did Eli Manning beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?
Here's a summary from NESN.com. Manning beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl, but the famous David Tyree helmet catch happened as Manning was getting sacked and threw the ball up in the air for grabs. Manning led the league in interceptions three times and has a .500 winning percentage.
Oh, okay. Led the league three times. They didn't have to throw that last part in. Come on, Google. What a dick. Yeah, that was fucking badass. Anyways, you guys gotta watch the Aaron Hernandez Mind of a Killer. I just can't remember the damn name of the thing. It's on Netflix. You can't miss it. It's popping up every time I pull up my thing. It probably knows I watch, you know, so many sports, so it's not going to let me off easy. It's going to pull it up every time. I got more sports to talk about. Houston Astros, man. And I was actually really, really pissed at the Astros, the way they cheated. If you don't follow him on Twitter, John Boy. He does a lot of baseball analysis and things like that. Has a lot of good commentary. Dude, he posted up about 15 videos of the Houston Astros banging on the dugout and, you know, all kinds of sketchy shit, which is, you know, I'm pissed off about because it's just our culture, right? That's just what we think. Speaking of the Patriots, you know, how many times they've been busted cheating, Deflategate, Spygate. I think Spygate happened again. Right? It's just our culture. It's like I see it all the time on Twitter, man. It's like people brag about cheating on their spouse or their girlfriend. Like, they don't give a shit anymore. It's just like a part of who we are is cheating's okay. And this just, like, deepens that feeling. You know, this just reinforces that feeling that cheating's okay. They're not going to strip your title. You won the big one. You got all the money, you know? You did all that. And, you know, what's the MLB going to do? Naturally, the Houston Astros fired, like, A.J. Hinch and, you know, a few other people for that. I don't know what's going to happen with Altuve and some of the players who were in on it. Which Altuve... And I was wondering about that, too, man. I'm watching them go up against a guy who pitches 100 miles an hour and probably throws, like, what, an 86 changeup? how do you walk up to the plate with that much confidence like Altuve had, like Bregman had, like Reddick had? Who else is on their damn team? I can't even remember now. Springer. You know, they all walked up to that plate with such confidence, and I never, you know, I was like, shit, even like watching the World Series, I'm like, damn, man. Like, these guys have all the confidence in the world. Like, they know what's going to happen, and turns out they fucking did. They knew what was going to happen the whole time, and it's just kind of a sickening feeling. It's like all the kids that looked up to them and that love the Houston Astros, all the, maybe even the adult fans, too, that love the Houston Astros. It's like, wait, you guys fucking cheated? That sucks, dude. And don't get me wrong, as a Texas Rangers fan, I'm like, how can we pull off the same thing Houston did, just in a different way? And you know, another thing I will say about it, too, is it's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive that the catcher could throw down a sign, and they could relay the message so fast before the pitch was thrown. That's actually kind of impressive. You know, it just takes someone watching that video camera and relaying the message over walkie-talkie or a cell phone. I don't exactly know how they did it. But you can clearly hear the bangs in the dugout. And Farquhar, I saw a video that John Boy posted on Twitter where Farquhar, he was a pitcher for the White Sox, he actually called them on their shit. So he threw a fastball, you know, he didn't hear anything. And then he picks, you know, the changeup. The catcher throws down the changeup sign, and you hear in the background, and Farquhar throws the changeup, the guy fouls it off, and he's like, all right, catcher puts down another sign, you know, fastball, no bang. He throws the fastball, guy doesn't swing on it. Then there's the next pitch, it's a changeup again. Throws the changeup, guy fouls off the changeup. And a third time, I think he goes back to the changeup, and he hears in the dugout, and he's like, whoa, 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 hold on. And he has to get together with the catcher to be like, wait, they got our signs, man. I'm hearing that banging every time I'm throwing the changeup, which is almost sickening. But here's the turnaround, people. Here's the turnaround. I was listening to Bill Burr talk about this, and he actually, on his podcast, the Monday Morning Podcast, by the way, he actually made a really, really good fucking point that helped ease my stomach with the whole situation, which was, you know, you look at the Yankees, you look at Boston, you look at the Cardinals, you look at the Dodgers, you look at those big teams. There's maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 big teams with a lot of money who can basically buy a championship. You look at those teams and you look at the Houston Astros, which I'm not going to research it right now. I know the Houston Astros do not make as much as the New York Yankees. They cannot spend as much as the New York Yankees to win a championship. So when a league is that lopsided, what's the small brother supposed to do, being the Houston Astros? How do they rise up and actually win a championship and beat the Yankees to get there and beat the other team, you know, in the World Series, which I believe was the Dodgers that season. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, how do you rise up? How do you beat that shit? Like I said, the Yankees can buy a championship if they want to. They can spend all the money they want to, and I know there's a cap. You know, you have to pay extra if you want to spend that kind of money. At least there is in football. I think there is in baseball, too. Right? Otherwise, how would that be fair? You know? You got a guy who's 80 years old, and you got a guy who's 30 years old. Who do you think's accumulated more money? You know, it's obviously going to be the 80-year-old guy. But back to Bill Burr's point, how do you compete with that? How do you make it to the dance, and how do you win, you know, in the championship? In the World Series, in this instance, which is, you know, it doesn't look good, and I still don't like it. But I think I understand it a little bit more now. I understand why they did what they did, was because they couldn't go out and get Alex Rodriguez and, you know, all the fucking Teixeira. I know that's way back in the day, and, you know, They don't have a CC Sabathia, even though, you know, they had Verlander. They had Cole. They had actually a really good pitching rotation, but you can't score any runs off of pitching. So, you know, you got to have that offensive side too. The pitchers shut them down and they're relaying messages to each other. So, I don't know, man. I have mixed emotions. But like I said, I do feel like I understand where they were coming from a little bit more. You know, being the underdog, being the smaller team in a smaller market with less money, you got to do something to compete, and that's what they did. They cheated to compete, but and I don't know if it's even necessarily cheating. I don't think there's anything in the rule books saying you can't do that. But it's obviously it's frowned upon. That's why there's been so much shit on the whole situation. It's highly frowned upon. It's not sportsmanlike. You know, that's what got me at first. That's not sportsmanlike. You can't do that. That's messed up. And there's a whole thing, too, about a guy getting on second base. And, you know, they're stealing signs that way. You know, why is that any different? Well, I've heard someone else say you've earned the right to steal that sign at that point. If you hit a double and you're standing on second base, or if you hit a single and you steal second base, you've earned the right to look down the center of the field and see what the catcher's putting down and try to signal your guy. You know, it's up to the other team to combat that. But having a video camera, that's a little, you know, that's a little much. As you can tell, I'm still on the fence about it, but I'm at peace with it a little bit more. Not that my opinion even fucking matters to the Houston Astros. They don't give a shit, you know. The whole thing with the Altuve, and that's the thing too, man. I talked about this a couple of months ago, how much I respect Altuve, how much he wasn't supposed to be in the league. You know, I gave that whole story. They told him he was too small. They cut him from the team. He came back the next day, and they're like, what are you doing here? We cut you from the team. Like, I admire shit like that. And then to find out he had some kind of buzzer possibly in his uniform to let him know when the changeup or the fastball or whatever they were playing that game, when that was coming, that's sickening, man. That really sucks. I really wanted to believe in that guy. I really wanted to believe in that team. I really wanted to believe in that confidence they showed at the plate, but now I know where it comes from. I know why they had so much confidence, but and there's that whole thing with him running down, you know, to home plate after he hits that walk-off, and he's like holding his, he's clutching his jersey like, no, don't rip my jersey off, don't rip my jersey off. And his excuse was, my wife got mad at the last time, you know, she doesn't want me to be seen like that. And that's a pretty good excuse in the moment, but you could tell he thought about it when the guy interviewing him asked him on the spot. He was like, why did you tell him not to rip your jersey off? He said, what? He said, why did you tell him to not rip your jersey off? He was like, oh, you know, well, my wife got mad the last time it happened, and, you know, she don't want me to be seen like that, and da-da-da. It's like, that was a pretty, pretty smooth move to think that on the spot, you know, but, I don't know, man. It's hard. I'm on the fence. I don't know what to think. If that's accepted, you know, then what have my Rangers got to do to win a World Series? You know, we didn't fucking cheat. We got beat fair and square. I don't know if the Cardinals cheated when they beat us in that World Series when we had one out, one strike left. Still kills me to this day. What could we have done in that situation to not let... I mean, their team was stacked. That's back when they had fucking Pujols and Freeze and all those guys. I mean, those are some big bats, at least back then. So, I don't know. Let me take another drink. Let's find some drink recommendations real quick. One sec. All right, I got three for you. I got the mint julep, the gimlet, and this one sounds really freaking good. The apricot brandy slush. Yeah, that sounds fucking amazing, dude. So the first one, the mint julep, here's what you're going to need. 2 cups of sugar, 2 cups of water, 2 cups loosely packed chopped fresh mint, half to 3/4 cup crushed ice, half to 1 ounce bourbon, and a mint sprig. Here's how you make it. For the syrup, combine sugar, water, and chopped mint into a large saucepan. Bring to a boil over medium heat. Cook until sugar is dissolved, stirring occasionally. Remove from the heat. Cool to room temperature. Line a mesh strainer. Here's step number two. Line a mesh strainer with a double layer of cheesecloth for a coffee or a coffee filter. Strain syrup. Discard mint. Cover and refrigerate syrup for at least 2 hours or until chilled. Oh, man, that sucks. See, I didn't read this one before I recommended it to you guys. I hate when you have to cook, and I hate when you have to prepare for 2 hours. Like, I want to drink now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not waiting 2 fucking hours to drink. I want to drink now. Anyway, number three, for each serving, place ice in a metal julep cup or rocks glass. Pour a 1/4 cup mint syrup and bourbon into the glass. Stir until mixture is well chilled. Garnish with a mint sprig. It doesn't tell you how much. I guess it's 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce of bourbon. So there you go. The next one I have for you guys is the gimlet. This is going to take ice cubes, 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of lime juice, 1 teaspoon confectioner's sugar, and lime slices. Here's how you make it. It's One Direction. Isn't that a band? Fill a shaker 3/4 full with ice. Add the gin, lime juice, and confectioner's sugar. Cover and shake for 10 to 15 seconds or until condensation forms on outside of shaker. Strain into an ice-filled glass. Garnish with lime. You know it's nice and cold in there if you got that that condensation coming out, you know. So here's the last one I have for you. Save the best for last. Hopefully this is the best. This is the apricot brandy slush, or apricot, however the hell you want to say it. Don't correct me. You're going to need 4.5 cups of water divided, 2 tea bags, gross, 1 cup sugar, 1 cup apricot brandy, 3/4 cup thawed orange juice, 3/4 cup thawed lemonade, each serving 1/4 cup lemon lime soda. Three directions here. In a large saucepan, here we go again. Bring 1 cup of water to a boil. Remove from heat. Add tea bags. Steep, covered, 3 to 5 minutes according to taste. Discard tea bags. Gross. Stir in sugar until dissolved and cool. Step number two. Stir in the apricot brandy. I gotta try some apricot brandy. That sounds amazing. Stir in apricot brandy, juice concentrates, and remaining water. Transfer to a 2-quart freezer container. Freeze and cover 6 hours or overnight. Ugh, not again. Step number three, for each serving, scoop 3/4 cup slush into a rocks glass. Pour soda into glass. Serve immediately. It tells you all the calories. Where I found these, by the way, is tasteofhome.com. So you can look them up yourself. I think this is Taste of Homes. Yeah, all three recipes are tasteofhome.com. As always, guys, don't drink and drive. Get an Uber. Get a Lyft. Don't be a moron. Give up your keys. You know what to do. Cheers. Be safe. All right, so we got the Super Bowl coming up, man. Tennessee is out. Green Bay Packers, thank God. Aaron Rodgers, as I call him, chin strap, is out. And it was so nice, Mr. Rodgers, it was so nice to see you laying on the ground. I love all the memes that are coming out. It says he should have been covered by Allstate to protect him from mayhem like this. I love all those commercials. San Francisco, Kansas City Super Bowl. I'm going Kansas City, even though, man, San Francisco scares me, dude. San Francisco has been under the radar this whole fucking season. And they'll surprise you, man. I didn't know when they played, I think, Seattle back in, you know, during the regular season. I was like, all right, who's the real deal? Is it San Francisco? Is it Seattle? Was it Seattle? I think it was Seattle. You know, but San Francisco just pulled it off, man. They're the real deal, dude. And they really, honestly, they scare me. I don't know what they're doing different. I don't know how they're playing so well. Obviously, they got a good team. You got to give them a little bit of credit, right? But they're killing it, man. But I'm going Mahomes. I'm going Mahomey, Patrick Mahomes, all the way. I got to put my money on Mahomes if I'm putting my money down. And the Kansas City Chiefs and that fat walrus of a coach. Why are you picking on that guy now? You know, I hope they win the big one, man. I'm not a fan of the Chiefs, but I'm a fan of good football, man. They're playing good football. Mahomes seems unstoppable. When he's passing, he can't stop the pass. When you're covering the pass, he just runs the ball. They're just, you know, they're just too much. I think they're just going to overwhelm. They were looking a little rough in that game, you know, to get to the Super Bowl. But, you know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of, like, LSU and Clemson, where it's like Clemson came out and they just look fucking dominant, man. And you just know the whole time in the back of your mind, you're just like, LSU, they're not done. They're not going to get defeated. They're going to keep playing. And when they keep competing, that's when it's bad for the other team. And that's how I feel about Kansas City. Shout out to Brett, man. I hope your team wins. I hope you win the big one. I'd be super happy for you. Even if the 49ers win, I'm not going to be mad. But if I had to put my money down, I'm going Kansas City. And I think a lot of people are. You got to watch out for those underdogs, though, man. San Francisco is just, I don't know. They made it all the way. They're good enough to be there, so it's anybody's game. We'll see. Let me go ahead and finish off this drink. I've talked in your guys' ears for long enough. I'll be gone for this week. Give me one sec. Let me find some music and finish off this drink. All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Be safe out there. Don't drink and drive. This is my last drink. Drink and Tell You podcast, the only podcast that lasts until the last drop. Cheers, guys. Bye.